Hello, welcome to the Game Slave Podcast, episode 53. I'm Proteus.
I'm Assimilator.
And I'm Zelda Queen.
And as usual, here to talk about geeky things, games, anime.
World of Warcraft.
Not a lot of anime today, to be honest with you.
No, not really. Though Zelda Queen and I have been watching Avatar The Last Airbender, which is sort of anime.
Well, it's anime.
If you squint.
Anime influenced.
Yeah.
Because the creators have talked about watching certain episodes of animes and stuff to get some inspiration from. So I'll give you that. But if we're going by, you know, strict definition, as it was animated and came from Japan, and not so much.
They use some of the tropes, though.
Anyway, so, do we want to start with the few non-Warcraft things we have and move into Warcraft, or do we want to do all the Warcraft stuff and then finish up with the non-Warcraft stuff? And based off of Proteus's look, I'll start with the non-Warcraft stuff, because that's what I just pulled up. So, you may have heard with Kinect, a lot of people have hacked it so they can control certain PC stuff with it.
Yeah, well, it's been made essentially an open platform, like, intentionally, Microsoft left.
They did not. They actually changed that stance in response to the number of people that wanted to use it on PCs.
Because I remember hearing about this, because they actually talked about it on Science Friday, which is a program on public radio.
Mm-hmm.
That's like nationally broadcast. They're talking about the Kinect, and it's kind of weird. I was like,
video games have become much more mainstream than we want to admit sometimes.
Yeah.
We used to be in our little niches. It's like, oh, I know this about video games, and now... Well, I guess it's a good thing that it's, as widespread as it is, but I digress. I'm completely off point of where I was initially going with this. Somebody hacked their Kinect to control Super Mario Brothers, the original. And there's a video on here. I'll go ahead and post it along with the source link for where I got it.
But that's not the original Super Mario. That's Mario 2.
Well,
yes, but that's Super Mario Brothers.
Well, yeah.
And that's where the video starts.
Do they also do Mario 2 then or something?
I don't know. I just kind of watched a little bit of it to see that it actually worked. Although, he was having some issues, I could tell, because when he would jump, Mario would go forward. So he was having a hard time lining his jumps up just right at times. But his first jump, he was able to successfully kill the first Goombas in the level. Right before you that first pipe in. But then he had a hard time hitting the question mark block to get the mushroom. He did do it after a few seconds, but he's actually, you can see him on the video, you can see a picture of him in a little mirror of him. So you can see, he's actually, moving his feet in order to move Mario forward, and then he's actually kind of walking backwards to get Mario to walk backwards, and, physically jumping. So it's actually, controlling an actual video game, not a sports game, not Dance Central, not Connectimals.
I think it's interesting that it's controlling something that was never intended to be controlled that way.
Yeah.
This is a game made for,
It's two-dimensional.
Yeah.
This person is operating a three-dimensional space into a two-dimensional, game world.
Which, I don't know. I thought it was impressive.
It is very impressive.
That was really interesting.
I always find it funny, though, that no matter what new thing comes out, we always have to go back to Super Mario Brothers to see how it works with it.
Well, it's because where we started. So it's like, hey, look, I got something that we loved and adored to work with the new stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it just keeps, keeps going.
So, yeah. I thought that was kind of impressive. I'll go ahead, as I said, I'll post the link for the video in the show notes for everybody.
I'll look at that later.
And then, I hear you went and saw the new Harry Potter movie.
Yes! It's very good. It's a much improvement over Half-Blood Prince. Half-Blood Prince was very disappointing. I know nothing in film can ever be like the book, but I didn't feel like the adaption was as strong. They did a much better time this time with the adaption, and I wish we didn't have to wait 6 months. I know how it is, but 6 months to see how it ends in, movie format. Characters are good. The scenes are good. I love the part where they actually do a sort of storybook telling of the three brothers. Story from the Tales of Vita Lombard. It's very stylized and very nice. Though I had a moment of deja vu, like I had seen it before somewhere else. And it's been bothering me since then.
I'll have to actually go check out the movie now. Although I want to watch Megamind first before I get that at theaters.
Yeah, but I highly do recommend seeing it at theaters, and I love matinee. Yay for being back in the U.S. and having proper matinee! $5!
Supposedly that's, the theater in... Where we live, there's a theater in Brighton. Supposedly, Monday through Thursday, all day it's $5.
It's just nice. It's nice not to have to pay $15 to go to see a movie and have an assigned seat. They assign you seats in New Zealand theaters for new movies.
insane. So it's like a, you know, a theater instead of a theater.
Yes.
Well, in some cases, it's kind of nice because it means that then you get a seat and you know where your seat is. It's your seat. You don't have to fight people for it.
That must be nice for the really popular movies. The ones that you guys don't see right when they come out anyways because it costs, what, $30 a ticket at that point?
Not usually. The only thing we saw anywhere close to release was, I think, Batman, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But we still went, like, on a Tuesday night, so it was slightly...
Didn't we have to kick some people out of our seats, though?
We saw one movie we did have to kick people who were in our seats.
They're like, you're in our seats. They're like, oh, yeah, sorry. They just got the wrong row, basically.
Ah.
They weren't intentionally stealing our seats.
One of those accidental things that happens from time to time.
But I recommend seeing it. If you read all the books, you've probably already seen it. If you haven't seen it, go out and see it. It's been out for like a little over a week now. Mm-hmm. It's always weird. You know, it's hype for a movie and it's out for a week and it just drops off the radar half the time.
Well, that's when the commercials stop.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, they really need to push it and then they start, you know, touting that what the New York Times has said about this movie. Only they only pull out like two words out of a 30, out of a, you know...
Yeah, 3,000-word review.
Must see.
For how bad it is.
A wonderful movie for stop-motion claymation.
Yes, such as that. But yes, I highly recommend seeing it. I enjoyed it very thoroughly. Special effects are good. Characters are good. Especially when they have to do a sort of espionage scene and it's other actors playing the characters. So it's actors... who are pretending
to be the three main characters
who pretending are pretending to be people who work at the Ministry of Magic.
Whoosh.
Yeah, you haven't read the books. At least we've read the books. Which I'll have
to... I know exactly what she's talking about. I haven't seen the movie yet.
So basically, they probably cast disguise spells on themselves so they look differently, so they had to have different actors act as them so they could successfully infiltrate the Ministry of Magic?
Yes. Essentially, yes.
But it's not a spell, it's a potion.
Details.
It's magic.
But it's different, because then everybody could just cast it on themselves and be somebody else. But no, this isn't, well, we won't get logistics of it.
Well, technically, you'd have to be sufficiently high magic user in order to cast certain spells anyway, so you could say you'd have to be a sufficiently high magic user in order to cast said disguise spells in the first place. But I digress, because that's probably just magic semantics in generic magical terms. Have you guys done anything else non-WoW related?
I watched Iron Man 2.
I ate lots of turkey.
Turkey.
Iron Man 2 wasn't as good as the first Iron Man. I felt like Tony Stark took like 3 steps backwards as far as his character. And Pepper Potts was even more than the previous one. And the enemy felt kind of like not like fully integrated. He always felt like sort of partially removed from everything. Okay. I wasn't as thrilled as I thought I was going to be. I was all excited. So I'm like, oh yeah, I can play Iron Man 2 to go with my other Iron Man. And now I don't care so much anymore.
The first Iron Man was a really good movie.
At least I didn't decide to use that dragon, Thing Fang Foo, or whatever his name is, as the bad guy.
Oh, the dude with the rings?
No, that's the Mandarin.
Oh, that's the Mandarin.
He was in the animated movie that they made. The animated feature that they made.
Gotcha.
But Thing Fang Foo is just a dragon. Okay. That, for some reason, Iron Man fights. And I don't know, 1950s comics, what the hell.
And I do like the point where it's like, War Machine goes to fire off what supposedly is a super weapon and just kind of fizzes.
Yeah, the ex-wife. Ding, ding, he's all like, Power Institute technology. Yeah. it was cool to see the two Iron Man suits running around and causing, you know, chaos, but... Dad was yelling at Iron Man a lot, saying, get away from the populated area! What are you doing, Dad? Well, yeah. Look, now you're being smart! Oh, look, now they're threatening you, have to go back! Yeah, it was kind of funny. Iron Man, good for rental! I don't think I'm going to own it, though. I'm hoping 3's better, though it does give a little tidbit for Thor at the end.
Yes. And I'm looking forward to the Avengers movie in, what, 2 years? 2012, I think. Summer of 2012 is when that's slated.
Oh, you do know more stuff about The Hobbit, though. That's geeky.
Oh, yes. For people who haven't been following this exactly, there was a big legal dispute with The Hobbit because of some of the way New Zealand law was written and that some of the actors come in were union members, and there's something that actors or screen workers or something couldn't be in a union in New Zealand, and I couldn't follow it all. It was all very legal and weird. But it got resolved. The New Zealand Parliament passed, you know, an act to allow, basically to allow for, like, this one case an exception to their law so that The Hobbit can be made in New Zealand.
Woohoo!
And a lot of people have been cast for it. About, let's see, Bilbo is, I forgot the actor's name now, but he was in...
He played Arthur Dent.
In Hitchhiker's Guide. The more recent movie.
Okay.
And he's, isn't he in the British version of The Office as well? Wasn't that the other credit I saw for him?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember his poor name. I think his last name's Freeman.
I can't remember either. But about eight of the dwarves have been cast.
That was nine. Was it nine? Three.
I can't remember exactly. I was kind of making a guess in my head. But because we have Thorin, Bomber, Feely and Keely, Oin and Gloin, I think, both.
Yep.
Martin Freeman.
See, I remembered his last name. Yeah, but they have a good portion of the cast. They need like three or four more dwarves. The Elven King. The trolls. They haven't cast the trolls yet.
Bjorn.
They gotta get Bjorn right. If they get Bjorn wrong, it'll be sad. And there's a lot of people who are.
I don't think they've cast Bard yet, have they?
No, they haven't cast Bard yet either.
Yeah. And they haven't confirmed yet whether Ian McKellen or Hugo Weaving or Andy Serkis or Viggo Mortensen will be reprising their roles from The Lord of the Rings. But I think it's kind of generally assumed that they will.
And there's some, like, rumored people to be, like, one guy rumored to be the voice of Smaug. And who's the other rumored guy? Oh, Radagast.
Yeah.
The Brown.
Who will actually have screen time. Which is ironic because he actually had screen time. Well, there is, you know, time that he is in the book in Lord of the Rings, whereas he's just referred to in The Hobbit. He doesn't actually make any appearance.
They're switching it around.
Artistic license?
Yeah. I don't care. I'd like to see Radagast actually more kind of explained and such, because he's always one of those characters that just kind of briefly comes into the books and then is gone, and he's just like, so he likes, you know, he's like this wizard, you know, like Gandalf or Saruman, but he kind of, his domain is the natural world and birds and things and that, but it's never really very much explored.
Yes, was it theonering.net?
Yeah.
Has all your Lord of the Rings film, you know, news.
Oh, they have had all the news since. I mean, they were the, you know, big place for getting rumors about Lord of the Rings when it was being filmed.
Oh, they were casting for Hobbits.
Yeah, they put out a casting call in various New Zealand newspapers.
Proteus is 1 inch too tall to be a Hobbit. I'm 3 inches too tall to be a Hobbit. I'm too short to be an elf. Darn. I think I'll be a real hero.
They're not in The Hobbit.
So, moving on.
I have nothing else geeky. Other than WoW.
Well, we'll move on to that then. So, as many of you know who's played it, and if you don't know, because you don't play it, now's actually a really good time for you to get into it. The Shattering has recently happened in World of Warcraft. So... basically, that means some zones have had complete redos. Some have had changes, like the Barrens, instead of being one ginormous zone, is now Northern Barrens and Southern Barrens, separated by a gigantic crevice that has boiling lava in the bottom of it.
Let's go jump in it! I wonder if that's an achievement.
There is actually an achievement. If you go to Ashara, there is a rocket freeway, and there's achievement from riding it from one end to the other.
I haven't been to Ashara because I'm not high enough level yet with a new character.
You're not? It's a starting zone.
Ashara is a starting zone?
Yeah, the area just north of Orgrimmar. There's actually an entrance from Orgrimmar right out into there. It's now a goblin. It's maybe not a starting zone, but it's like a goblin leveling area for low-level characters. They completely redid that zone because nobody went to it at higher levels.
Well, there was no quest there. That was part of the problem. There's a few horde quests. I remember doing it because... leveling on a PvP server, you will purposely go to out of the reach places because you don't want
to. No one else goes to.
So I went to Ashara. Yeah. Desolus. Nobody goes to Desolus. I highly recommend going to Desolus now. It's pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty, but yeah. Like, right, you know, there's that quarter moon thing and then there's that island with absolutely nothing on it in the middle of the water?
Yeah.
There's a goblin city there now.
I don't know if I approve of the goblins being Ashara because Ashara used to be one of the most pretty zones in old school WoW. Just to kind of look at things. It was very well, you know, the landscape was very pretty.
Well, when you look at it, they basically had to leave their island because it was sinking. They had to go somewhere.
But why Ashara? It's a pretty place. They're going to poison it.
As I said, there is a exit from Ulgrimmar directly into it at the backside.
I've never gone out that way yet. I think I remember commenting on this to my bro about, I'm like, oh, look, you can go to Ashara now instead of having to go out and, you know, find a little pathway that was near the barrens. Because there used to be a little pathway through the mountains.
Yep. So yeah, now you can go there without any issue.
But it's like Western Plagueland. It's no longer really a plagueland. It's a level 35 zone, which is weird, instead of being 60.
Well, 50. I think Western was 50, Eastern was
55. Five. Let's hope Chapel also get a nice little redo. They got a wall around it. It's all green. Outside of it, it's still plagueland. But inside the chapel, it's all green. Looks like there, you know, like there was that little druid there that was proving that you can grow stuff in the ground there, right, in a old WoW.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like they proved you can do more than grow just one little tree, because it's all grassy and it looks nice. Maybe a place you want, you know, I'm not sure you'd want a vacation there, but maybe just visit there for a day or so and then take the griffin or the bat home.
It's just like little changes, like in Deathless, there's, you know, the Burning Axe Fortress where there's cultists of
Thunder
the Burning
Axe Fortress.
Or Thunder Axe, thank you. There's cultists of the Burning Blade there. Everybody's blades glow red, you know, orange. They're like on fire. How quaint.
They do fire damage.
How quaint for the Burning Blade cultists.
It works.
I mean, it's just like little things like that that, you know, kind of, you know, make you feel like the world's more tactile.
Yeah.
Like,
I'm now wondering if Scrap Home is still on fire.
We're going to have to head down there and check that out.
Yeah.
I mean, our character's not high enough level on the server I'm now. I have to do that, though.
But, And then for people that are starting fresh, the starting zones are much better than they were before. I've leveled to 22 in about half a week. And, well, actually 23, because I hit 23 today.
Oh, man, what is the name of that undead guy that follows you around in the starting zone? It's like a beast. He carries like 8 Scarlet Crusade guys on his back.
Yeah, they'll give you, like, you have to, you know, go gather these corpses because... Now, instead of you just being... When you start as an undead, because this is the only new starting area I've done so far since the Shattering, is you are not woken up from some random grave. You are raised by a Valkyr now that's working for Sylvanas.
Well, now it's no longer... I mean, like, formerly it was sort of...
You were...
The Forsaken were basically the people killed in Mordoron by the plague in Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
Now they're people, corpses from everywhere.
Anywhere they can get a corpse, then they're raised, and you're given an option to join the Forsaken. They ask you to, but, like, it's really nice how inclusive all the quests are. Not only do they, you know, keep the quests grouped together, they'll give you a set of quests that all happen in one area, then after you turn all those in, the next set of quests come available for the next section of the area.
Yeah.
So you're not constantly running back and forth to the same area.
And the storytelling's gotten a lot better too.
It's
like that quest line with that that woman Forsaken.
Oh yeah.
That was formerly part of the crusade.
Yeah, you well, don't tell them too much. Basically you started and there's this woman, you're told to, you know, talk to 3 Forsaken because they're not quite comfortable with their new roles. And one chick, she can't believe what she's become. So she runs off and then you run into her again and again and again, but they're keeping completely separate quest lines. But they combine her so you actually find out her entire story. So it works really well, and I don't know, I found myself doing the entire quest in 2 zones without even batting an eye because of how engaging they were now. And they also do a thing where they'll communicate to you if you're in an area, you finish a quest, and you're supposed to stay in that exact spot without running back. A little thing will pop up with some lore reason on why they're communicating with you to then... continue to give you your next set of instructions for that area. I ran into that a lot in Silverpine.
Yeah, they've got a lot of quests now that you complete kind of in the field. It's just like pops up things like, okay, you've completed this quest. Click here. It's like...
It's really okay. Nice. I think it's done really well. It makes questing a lot easier and, as I said, more engaging. And it makes you feel like you're actually doing something. For example, and in my case, it made me feel like I was actually a part of the Forsaken, not just a cog.
Has everybody been reading their quest text again then?
Yeah. Yes. Okay, so I posted this on the page last night, as of this recording. There's a quest in Hillsbrad, right as you're going in from Silverpine. If you don't do this quest, you're doing yourself an injustice. It's called Welcome to the Machine. I'm not going to tell you what it's about, because that ruins half the fun of the quest, because I found it hilarious reading the text and the little, you know, chat bubbles. It's hilarious! Do it! If you're Alliance, I'm sorry, you suck.
There's probably a similar one.
I was looking for it. I couldn't find anything in the comments. There was nothing about an Alliance version of this quest. Because I was looking in comments on Wowhead for it to try and post it for people, but all I could find was the Horde version of this, the Horde quest of this.
It's worth making a tune, raising up to Path 20 just to go there.
Agreed. And it's not like that'll be real hard. Play a new tune for about 2 days.
You're like my brother who's power level up to 30 in like 4 days or less.
Well, it's not like he has anything to do between the time he gets off work and 2 a.m. when he goes to sleep.
True. But he keeps up with all his other characters. He has 4 or 5 level 80s.
I don't know.
Three of them are, well, I think his one hunter is the most geared out, but the other ones are, you know, his druid and his death knight are pretty geared out, and then his poor rogue, though, is his redheaded stepchild.
Doesn't like that rogue anymore, does he?
Yeah, she's good for doing certain things, but we're not a PvP server anymore. It just doesn't have the same flavor.
Rogues are designed almost for PvP play, I think.
Griefing. I can't do rogue. I can't really do any other class. I'm having too much fun with paladin and ripping through everything right now.
So currently I have my priest that I've had at level 80 for quite some time. Then I have a mage that's 40-something, and then I have a warlock that's at 23 right now.
I have a new paladin that's at 40. I'm almost 41. And that's it, because I have this problem with only making blood elf characters now.
Well, originally, I was looking at my character list, and one of the reasons why I decided to restart my... I had a female blood elf warlock that I decided to restart as a undead warlock, was I realized I had, like, 3 characters that I had accidentally named all the same name. I couldn't believe when I looked at it. I was like, I have 3 characters of this name. I'm going to delete these 2, keep this one, and I'm just going to restart this other character.
Are these across 3 different servers?
Yes! So I'm not even looking at the list, I'm just trying to find a name that works that's not taken, and I ended up using the same name 3 times.
Okay, I guess this is a kind of a funny tangent story. For the Pilgrim's Bounty quest, one of the things for all the achievements for it is you have to use the turkey shooter on racial rogues. So orc.
A rogue of every race.
Yeah, a rogue of every race. Well, my brother was having a hard time finding particularly gnome and dwarfs. He later found them in Dalaran, but I digress. So I made a gnome, which I haven't deleted yet, because his randomness, he ended up being pink bubblegum bald with a beard and a long handlebar mustache, and his name was Rubben. R-U-B-B-E-N. For random. I hit random and hit create, and it popped up. But I'm all like, I'm going to hold on to this gnome for right now, because I don't know. He amuses me on my character list right now. I'm probably not going to level him, but he just amuses me.
Works.
But yeah, we only got, what, a little over a week. By the time we get posted, it'll be a week for when Cataclysm comes out.
Yep, and I know you can buy Cataclysm from everywhere. I think you guys are doing Amazon. I'm doing GameStop.
No, we did GameStop because we could not buy the collector's edition any longer from Amazon because they were sold out.
Oh, suck.
So, GameStop it is.
Well, if you get it within 48 hours at GameStop, they're doing basically the Cataclysm Pack or something, where you get additional PowerPoints if you have a PowerPoint card, along with some additional rewards.
I don't know.
Basically, you just go in. I don't know. It's not just the orders. It's like...
Ours is getting shipped to the door, because we couldn't do a pickup version, either for the Collector's Edition.
So you guys did get the Collector's Edition, though, through GameStop shipping?
One.
I don't care. Between 2 of us. I get the normal version.
I pre-ordered mine in the store like the day they announced the collector's edition was available. So I went in. Yeah, I need this changed. Anywho,
I guess the last plug will be, if you have it or you want to introduce someone into the WoW universe, you don't have to have Cataclysm to participate in the Shattering, because basically it's old world redone.
The only thing you don't get access to are goblins, worgen, and the new zones, and you can't get up to level 85.
But if it's still going on, Blizzard was selling the first 3 expansions for dirt cheap. And when I mean dirt cheap, you can get the first one for 5, the second one for 5, and the third one for 10. So essentially, you can get the first three expansions for $20, which is what it costs you to get the first one. You get plain old vanilla WoW.
Yep. So then they get a free month, so you're talking, you know, $20 for an entire month of WoW. And then if you can convince them to, you know, go on for another 2 months after that, so then you could buy it for them at $20. They spend $30, and you get the double rocket mount. Not to mention the 3x experience for playing with that character.
How long does that last for the entire...
I don't know how long. I think it lasts for their introduction period, the initial 30 days. I might be wrong on that. But, yeah, so...
If it lasted forever and ever and ever, everybody would be signing up everybody else. Everybody would be, like, triple, quadruple boxing all the time. I have 100 characters at level 80. 5 now. That's too much time.
Anywho,
that'll be my last plug.
So, that's about all I have to push about WoW anymore. It's just, you know, I was happy with the quests. They're fun. They're engaging again. Oh, yeah, dungeons.
All quests for dungeons are available for quest givers in the dungeon, yes.
For example, I went to Zul'Farrokh. I had been through it a few times. I'd actually already done some quests for Zul'Farrokh. I walk in, there's 4 quests the second you walk into Zul'Farrokh before you even engage an enemy.
I did the same quest twice, because I did it right before the patch, and I did it right after the patch. It was kind of crazy.
Before the patch, I did the quest that gives you the carrot on a stick. So that was, you know, it gives you, you get Gazdril's electrified scale, give it to a gnome in the... What was formerly the Shimmering Flats is now a giant pool of water, which is a pain in the butt to get through, because you have to, you know, first time you have to swim to the damn boat in the middle of the area.
They give you a boat after that.
I don't know. I saw a boat in there, but I just missed getting. I didn't get to it in time, so I ended up swimming the entire damn way. And the only flight point between there's a flight point on the boat, and there's a flight point right next to Feralis, because the horde area that was in the center has been taken over by the Dark Totem Clan.
Grim Totem. Bye bye, Freewood Post.
Yeah, basically.
I haven't got those beetles. I used to quest there, too, back in the day.
I'm not sure how to get there now. Because you used to get there out of Southern Barrens.
Yeah, you can't...
Well, you can, you know, still go to the Great Lift, and you can jump into the water.
But how do you get to the Great Lift over the scar? The chasm.
From Rogor, I think.
Well, I think what you... There's 2 ways you can do it. No, there's not a bridge. There, on the... east side, there's this little area where you can kind of try and get around it. That's how I got from south to north. Or if you want to go the long way around, I think you can go into Ashenvale, the Stone Talon, to Mulgore. Stone Talon. Ashenvale, the Stone Talon, and then from Stone Talon, I think you can get to the area.
You can get into Mulgore from Stone Talon.
Which is the only way in now, because of the Southern Tower, where you would used to get into the Southern Barrens.
Oh, yeah.
There's a giant gate in your way.
Whee! World changes!
And Tarajo has been destroyed and overtaken by the Alliance.
Bye-bye, Camp T. We do thee well.
Yeah, overall, I enjoy the changes. I think Blizzard did a good job on the world. And with that, please feel free to visit us at thegameslave.com. Check out our merchandise at thegameslave.spreadshirt.com. Forums at forum.thegameslave.com. And lastly, let us know you're out there by emailing us at mail@thegameslave.com.
Or leave a comment. There's a thing. You can click comment on our articles and such.
Yeah, you don't even have to register. You can just comment on our articles, comment on the podcast. Let us know you're out there. Because if you're out there, we might eventually have that will give us ambition to actually start rewarding people.
We got some stuff. We just need somebody to give it to.
So once we know that we actually have people out there, we might actually start setting up some contests and stuff for y'all.
Until then, game on.
Game on.
Game on.